that Miss Barbara could be here. And lead us to the Lord, to Jesus, and to a commitment to Him and to serving Him, and it is all about souls. And so let's keep at it. Let's not forget what we've heard already, and trust that the Lord is going to continue to help us. We have some time left. We want to look into the Bible. I just want to challenge you. But before I do that, I wonder how many of you that are here can remember, maybe this happened already this afternoon early on, and I wasn't here at the time, but how many of you can remember when we were in this Barbara's group? Maybe in Camp Hammer, or maybe someone. I see a couple. Raise the pot. Let me see your hands. That's a lot of you, a good number of you, which tells me that there are a lot of you that grew up going to church, coming to the conferences, being part of this whole group. And that's what I want to talk to you about this afternoon. If you have a Bible, I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, I don't know what you guys have out here in California, but in New York, I don't know if it's a program that's still on television or wherever it is, but do you ever see Extreme Makeovers? Do you have that out here? There's a house that's not too far from where I live. And that, we had heard, came through the local newspaper, was going to be a makeover. That house, they were going to have an extreme makeover. There was a mother there with her several children. She was widowed. She had had hard times. It was a difficult thing for their family, and the house that they were living in was starting to lean and do all these things it's not supposed to do. And so somehow or other she got hooked up with Extreme Makeover, the homeowner's edition. And so I didn't get a chance to go past her home before, but I had heard that they're coming in. And when they come in, they come in. I mean, boom, in a weekend, 3 days, like the Bay Bridge. They pull the thing apart and put it back together again in 3 days. Or just in one section. They were going to come in, and through the night, they were going to do everything to this house and make it beautiful again. And so, sure enough, they did that. They got out of there, and about 2 weeks afterwards, I went past that house. I don't know what it looked like before, but I know what it looked like afterwards. It was beautiful. I had read in the paper that in the backyard, they had put in a figure eight go-kart course for the kids. And so I got out of my car, and I went up to the gate, and I peeked around there, and I was looking for the go-karts, and I saw the course. Nice. Goes up on sort of like a slope on a hill, and goes back down. I thought, well, that's pretty good. They did a good job with that. There are other extreme makeovers, though, aren't there? What else do you do? You have people, they do people's like, faces. You come in looking like whatever, and you can go out looking. That takes a little longer than a couple of days, though. But I haven't seen any of those, but I can just imagine. They pull something from somewhere and stick it in. It'll make the lips bigger or smaller, or the nose bigger or smaller. They do all kinds of crazy stuff. Extreme makeovers. Well, I'd like to show you from the Bible that the Bible is interested in another kind of an extreme makeover. And that's you. Not your house, and not the physical body that you have, but your heart, soul, the inside of you. The inside of you is really the you. You understand what I mean? Does that make any sense? I mean, the outside is just the shell. It's just the body. It's not the real you. Your personality is not something I can grab hold of and shake. Your soul is not something we can, you know, take over for a walk and leave you behind. You got a part of you that is spirit, soul, and body. And the Bible tells us that what Jesus wants to do for us mostly is on the inside. He wants to make us over. I mean an extreme makeover. I mean from when you look like a wreck spiritually to becoming just like He is. That's what He is interested in doing. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And look at verse 17, if you would. I'll read it to you. It says, I'm going to start with verse 16. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Verse 17. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faith, faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We are being, what word did I use? Transformed. What's that mean? Somebody tell me. What does it mean to be transformed? Well, think back when you were in Miss Barbara's group, and you walked into her classroom, and you had these things in your pockets, and you pulled them out, and it looked like who knows what. It looked like a square. And then you went, and then you had this big monster standing there. You didn't have any of those things? What were they called? Transformers. Okay, that's a clue. You're on the right road. So what's it mean to be transformed? From a square to a... No, something different than that. To be transformed. Nobody knows? Say it again. To be changed. Okay, changed. That's good. Hold on to that. Thank you, sir. To be transformed means to be changed. Like what happens to a caterpillar. You have those out here? You ever see a caterpillar? You have butterflies on the West Coast? You ever seen that? And they're transformed. It's called a metamorphosis. That's the big word, right? It comes out of its whatever it's in, and then all of a sudden it pops a wing over here, and before you know it, it gets on going, and it turns beautiful, and it looks nice, and it's transformed from that ugly-looking slug kind of a thing. And now it's a beautiful butterfly. That's the whole idea. And you can't tell, if I show you that caterpillar, you couldn't believe one day that thing's going to be flying around like a butterfly. It doesn't look like a butterfly. You'd never think it could possibly be a butterfly. Just like that little square thing you took out in Miss Barber's class, and he went... And then it became something else, and you turned it around and pulled another, and then it became something else. You never think that it could possibly really look like what you made it to look like, because you changed it. You transformed it. The Bible says that what the Lord wants to do is to transform you from one degree of glory. Now, we'll talk about that. That's big words, I know, but you're big people. From one degree of glory to another degree of glory, imperceptibly, perhaps, to you initially, but over the time of a year or 2 years or 3 years or 10 years or 20 years, you're always being changed. You remember Miss Barbara said a few minutes ago that she's still pursuing the Lord? She's not going to quit yet? She's still seeking after Jesus? She wants to know him better? A lot of people in the Bible were like that. The Apostle Paul was like that. I want to know him. I want to know him better. I know him. But I want to know him a lot better than I know him. And I want to be changed. I want to be transformed more and more and more. So that one day, I can say that I really look like Jesus. So people look at you and they don't see you as much as they see Jesus in you. Oh, they recognize your face. That's still him. That'll never change. They recognize who you are, but they see a difference in you. That's the thing that the world needs to see. They don't need me, they don't need you, but they need Jesus in you. They need what Jesus can bring through you to them. They need to see the love of Jesus in you. They need to see the compassion of Jesus in you. They need to see that you could be Christ-like and still not be boring and dull and unattractive. Because Jesus doesn't make you boring, dull, and unattractive. He makes you beautiful from the inside out. You understand? That's what it means to be transformed. It starts on the inside. So many people try to transform themselves from the outside. And that's only it only works on the physical. It only works on what you can see. Not boys, I hope, but the girls. They sometimes get into this, they put a lot of stuff on. Colors. Pretty colors. Do you ever see those racks at the store? Maybe you've got Macy's out here, don't you? I think you probably did. You go in those stores and they've got these people that will come after you, not me, but after the women. Could we make you over? And they've got these colors. You can go any color, purple, red, blue, green, anything you like. You can mix and match all the colors you want. And when you leave that store, I mean, if you're married, your husband won't even know it's you walking by anymore. Because you're so transformed, you're so different. But that's just on the outside. Go home and take a shower. Not transformed anymore. Now it's the same old you looking the same old you. Nothing different. What Jesus wants to do is not change us from the outside. That really stinks. Now, the reason why I asked you how many of you remember Miss Barbara from when you were, because I grew up in the church too. I went to church before I knew I was going to church. Some of you have been there. You didn't even know you were there. They were carrying you in a little basket. And then they laid you down under the bench someplace or a chair. And you didn't even know you were there. And you didn't even know you left. When you began to know that you were there, you didn't want to be there. Yeah, but you went anyway because, I mean, after all, what could you do? You can't fight City Hall or you can't fight your parents. And so you just have to go with the flow. And you conform. Now, that's different than transform. You conform to what you're taught. We conform all over the place. In society, you have to conform. Can you tell me any place besides church where people conform? Schools. You go to school, you're sitting in a class. If you're not in college, you can't just get up and leave when you want to, can you? I mean, you know, you're in 6th grade, 8th grade, 10th grade, and you decide, I had enough of this today, I'm going. You get up and you walk out the door. I don't think they'll like that. They won't let you do that because you need to conform. You got to wait for the whoo, and then you're out to go. Is that what your bells sound like here on the West Coast? You mean you got to be on or something like that? We have, that's what our sound like in our schools in New York. And then when you hear that bell ring, then you're free to go. And when you're in the class, some teachers have different rules, right? Some teachers, at least when I went to college, I used to pick my, I shouldn't tell you this. I used to pick some of my classes by looking at what the professors were like. This professor has no attendance requirements. They don't give finals. They don't give midterms. They don't give tests. They don't give term papers. And you're guaranteed an A. You know, I'll go to that class. Now, the other professors, they're a little different. You know, you got this and you got that, and you have to conform. Well, it's okay in society. Where else do you conform besides school? At work. People go to work. Same thing. I don't have to go through the whole schmear. I think you understand it. You can just come and go when you want to. You can just do what you want when you want to do it. You've got to conform. You've got to fulfill a function, and you got to perform a task, and it's got to be up to the standards. If you're at McDonald's, and you're working behind that little grill there at McDonald's, you got to flip those little things every once in a while. You can't just let them burn on one side. You've got to do what they tell you to do. You've got to conform. You may not like it. Anybody like the rules that you have at school, all of them? Nobody? Let me make sure that you're all with me. Does anybody not like the rules at work all the time? Yeah, okay, you're with me. You don't like them, but you do conform, right? Because you want to graduate or because you want to get a paycheck at the end of 2 weeks or a week or whatever it might be. How about at home, kids? No rules, right? You've got good parents. They let you do whatever you want to do, whatever you want to do. And oh, how good my parents are. They don't care if I come home at night or not. That's how great my parents are. Now, that's totally ludicrous. And of course, you've got to conform to certain. You might not like it all the time. Why do I got to be home? None of my friends. I don't care what any of your friends do. You ever hear that before? You've heard that? Yeah, I've heard that too. I can still hear it. I've heard it so much. I don't care what anybody else does. You're not. You're my child, okay? And a lot of other things. Anybody age's mother ever say, eat your spinach? Huh? Eat your dumplings? They told you that. I eat your dumplings. I don't want. Well, you're not going to get anything else because let's eat your dumplings. I know you don't have desserts, do you? No ice cream after. You can't hold that from you. But you understand what I mean. You've got to conform. And conforming is not always fun. You agree with me on that? Conforming is trying to change yourself to meet somebody else's standard, somebody else's desire. Now, we do that in church. You know, I dare say, and I don't know that I'm right about this, but I dare say that a lot of you this afternoon, 15 minutes ago, conformed. You conformed to listening to Miss Barbara, and she said, come, and you came. You didn't really want to, some of you maybe. You just kind of did it because everybody else is doing it, and she's not going to leave me alone until I do it, and so I better conform and do what she tells me to do, just so that it's done with. Some of you maybe have done it, and you always do it. Some people always do it from when they're this little, and we learn to get really good at conforming. We know exactly what to say, what we're supposed to say, and to who we're supposed to say it. When Pastor Hugh comes by, we know exactly what to say. When Sister Nancy comes by, we know exactly what to say. And when Brother So-and-so, when John comes by, we know exactly what to say. We know exactly what to say to conform, because it's exactly what they want to hear. And we want them to hear from us, whether we feel it or not, whether we want to or not. And I've grown up in that kind of an environment. I know how to play the game as well as anybody here. I know how to conform to the rules. I know how miserable you can be. I know how hard it can be. You can have a form of conformity, but your heart can be 25,000 miles away or 3,000 back in New York. You can be far, far away if you're only conforming. I'm interested this afternoon for the next 15 minutes that we have, 10 minutes that we have, to just tell you that what I'm interested in, I believe the Bible's interested, is not your conformity, but your being transformed. Now, if we could just kind of race through. Notice it says in verse 17, we all. And who does that leave out in this room? Nobody. It doesn't leave anyone out in the church at Corinth that Paul was writing to. He says, again, we all with open, it's verse 18. We who with unveiled faces, says the King James translation, we all with open face. Every one of us are looking at an object. We're looking at something. And as we're looking at the something that we're looking at, we'll look at what we're looking at in just a minute. But as we're gazing at this object, we're being changed. We're being changed from one degree of glory to another. The goal is that we become Christ-like. We're looking at the glory of God. We're looking at Jesus Christ. We're looking at His Word, which is all part of looking at His glory. And as we're looking at Him and looking at His Word and beholding Him and waiting on Him and sitting at His feet, we're being changed. Not that we have to. It's not incumbent upon us. We don't have to conform, but we're being changed from the inside out. Because when you were born again, it wasn't something from the outside in. It was something from the inside out. You're born again of something from the inside. Your heart was changed. You've got a new nature put into you. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and all things have become new. You remember in John chapter 3 when Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Not physically born again, but spiritually. And that new birth, that new nature starts on the inside, and it works its way out, and you're ever increasingly becoming more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. I've got three kids. Well, I don't know how you divvy up kids. I mean, I had three, and then I gained a fourth one, and then my two oldest, let me make it easy. I've got three kids. One of them is married. My oldest daughter, she's married. She, by the way, I don't know what they're going to do this, but she married a Chinese guy. And so they got married, so I inherited a fourth. I got four kids. I mean, I don't look at my son-in-law as my son-in-law. He's my son. I love him as much as I love my kids. Almost. I hope you guys didn't hear me say that. And then they had a child, so I got a little grandson, little Jet. He's part of it. He's my kid, too. I mean, he's part of my kids, so he's part of me, and I like Jesse, too. And then I have Christy and Timmy, and Christy's 20 and Timmy's 15. And Timmy, 15, he reminds me of me. I look at him, and I think that's me. It's scary sometimes. And then I remember, but that's not me. My wife reminds me every once in a while, you're not young anymore. And somebody said to me today, you're going to play basketball today. And I said, you know what? steps and he forgets. I'm not that old, but I can't remember, but he forgets that he's too old to play basketball. And then I'm glad Sister Nancy was there. For Sister Nancy. She said, he's not too old. And I agree with her. I look at my son, my 15-year-old, and I think that's me. Tall, skinny, blonde hair. And if he were here today, and I called him up, and I said, Tim, stand right here. And he stood over here. And then I called Aaron up, and I stood him over here. And then I called William and said, stand here. And I said, now, well, the rest of you smart people, I want you to tell me which one of these three boys is my son. Now, you can say, well, those of you with rational memories you would probably, I think, be able to pick out which one is my son. Now, how, we're just playing the game now, but how do you think you'd be able to tell that he was mine? Okay, he's white. I heard that. I don't know what he eats, but he's got blonde hair. He looks like me, right? How could I tell that you belong to Jesus? That you're part of his family, that he's your father who is in it? How could I tell? Because you've got a sign on that says, I'm a Christian. Because you put a tattoo on your forehead that's a cross. How do you tell that somebody's a Christian? You look at them. And when you look at them, you're not just looking at them, but you're looking at Jesus. And ever increasingly, little by little, year by year, they're being changed. I may not be exactly like Jesus is now, but I'm getting closer than I was 2, 3, 5, 10 years ago. And it should be the same for every one of us, because we all, with open face, are beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, and we're being changed from one degree of glory to the other. The thing that Jesus put on the inside, that new nature, that new heart, now you've got to work it out so that it can be seen from the inside out. Conformity is from the outside in. It stinks, it's hard, and I don't advocate it. Being transformed into his image is from the inside out, and you love every minute of it. It's not a chore, it's not arduous, it's not a task, it's enjoyable. It is joy, Peter says, unspeakable and full of glory. We said last night, whichever screen you were looking at, it is glory just to walk with him. It is glory just to walk with him. You remember that? It is glory just to walk with him. And some of you are looking at me and you're saying, glory be. No way. It's not glory to walk with him. It's like work. It's like hard. It's like, who wants to, but I have to if I want to conform. And I'm here to tell you, it doesn't have to be that way. It can indeed be glory to walk with him, starting on the inside with that new nature, and then he works it out. Anybody here ever eat popcorn? Do you have popcorn on the West Coast? Okay. I'm not much of a cook, but I can make a good popcorn. You see how hard it is? It's not hard at all. But my kids, I think they just tricked me into it. Dad, your popcorn's the best. Really? Yeah. Could you go make us some? I fall for it all the time, so I'm always in the kitchen. Well, not always. I'm slaving over that popcorn popper, and I take those little hard kernels. Do you ever see them? Do you ever try to eat them? The one end is a little softer than the other end. Do you notice that? Yeah. Okay, you put that little hard kernel. You put a whole bunch of them. They go inside that popper, that higher popper, whichever way you pop your popcorn. And after you heat it up a little bit, what happens? All of a sudden you hear, what? Hey, that's what you hear all over the place. And it's popping all over the place. And you take them, and I know this isn't very scientific, but did you ever take one of those nice white kernels of corn, popped corn? And you look at it, and you remember what it used to be? That little hard thing? But you know what really happened? That little hard thing had all that stuff inside. You ever thought of that before, did you? It's an amazing thought. That little hard kernel had all this beautiful white popcorn with butter in it. Well, it didn't have any butter or salt on it yet. But that passage. It was like stuck inside that shell. Took a little heat, that's another story in and of itself. Took a little persecution or trial or heat, and then all of a sudden, pop! And you'd be surprised what's on the inside of you. If Jesus has come into your heart, if Jesus has come into your life, you'd be surprised. You've got to let that pop. You've got to pop every once in a while. And you've got to show forth the praises of Him who's called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. To show forth His glory to this whole world, to this generation that you're living in. To show forth that you don't need to conform. That's lousy. You don't want to go there. But you can take on the nature of Christ and you can be changed more and more into His image. And it's kind of a neat life. And you never really get to the end of it, but it is joy unspeakable, and it is full of glory. And the change comes by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, that's a mirror. We're beholding the glory of the Lord. We're being changed. And I've got to wrap this up because it's already time for us to go in 2 minutes. You give me 2 extra minutes today, I'll give it back to you tomorrow. Okay. I'll give you 2. Never mind, I don't want to take any more time because if I have to do the math, we'll have to go. Okay, but you're changed by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God, takes the things of Christ, and makes them real to us. When He, the Spirit of truth, shall come, He'll lead you and guide you into all truth. This is your mirror. This is your looking glass. You need to look into it. This perfect law of liberty. You need to look into it day and night, not only to see what you need to change. That's not what the Bible's all about. Oh, I'm not good there. Oh, I'm not good there. I need an extreme makeover there. And I need an extreme makeover. You do. So do we all. But as we read the Word of God, we see what we're like and we see what we can be changed to. It gives you hope because if He says it in His Word, He's able also to do it. So He doesn't just say it so that you can be condemned and you feel bad. Oh, look how ugly I am. Oh, it's terrible what I see here. Well, it is terrible what you maybe were, but you're being changed from one degree of glory into another degree of glory. And you see in this book what He can make of you by His power. To make you what you want to be. And it's like looking into a mirror. Let me just in closing, and you know this already maybe, but you notice the difference between the way women look in mirrors and the way men look in mirrors? You got to look into this book like a lady looks into a mirror. Some of you don't know how that is. They get up in the morning. Men, what do we do when we get up in the morning? Okay, we're ready for the day. Women, first place they go right from the bed out into the bathroom. And they look. I mean, what are they looking for? The same guy, the same woman later, they're looking. And then they start in with their array of colors. Or they start in with whatever it is, and then they got oil of Olay. And then they got powder cakes or whatever they call it. And then they got all the schmears that they put on. And they got rouge and they got this and all kinds of stuff. And before you know it, you don't know what, but they're looking. And then they get out of that place. They get out of that mirror. And they go and they eat their breakfast. And then it's time to go to church. And before they go to church, they're going to look again. What could possibly have gone wrong? But they're looking again. And they're looking. Beholding. As in a glass. Looking again. And then they get into the car. You know what they do when they get into the car? Yeah. They got that visor thing. Look at that little bit. I mean, what has happened since you left the house and walked into the car that you got in? What's going on with this thing? And they're looking and they're looking and they're looking. And then they get into the church and they've got a glass door on the church. You know what? They try in the glass door, and then they pull out their pocketbook, and in their pocketbook they got this little tiny thing. Kind of big. But you know what, men, when it comes to the Word of God, look into this book like you were a woman looking into a mirror. The Bible in James 1, and I don't have time to go there, because I probably took my extra 2 minutes already. But in James chapter 1, it talks about. We're looking into that perfect law of liberty. and we see what it's all about, and we see what we're all about. But we don't just close the book and say, forget about what I see, I don't like it. But we look into that, and we continue therein. And we continue therein. That man, that woman will be blessed in his deeds, because that man and that woman will become more and more and more like Jesus. One more quick. Panasonic. You know Panasonic? They make a microwave. They make an inverter microwave. Do you have one of those? Did you see one? I've seen them. I don't have one, but I've seen them. Well, you know when you usually put stuff in a microwave and it usually gets really hot on the outside? And then you think, oh, this is hot stuff. And then you take it out and you take a bite and it's still frozen in the middle. Not with the inverter. The Panasonic microwave inverter oven that cooks from the inside out. So if you see your hot dog, you know it's cooked on the inside if it's hot on the outside. God has an inverter microwave that he wants to stick you in. And he wants to cook you on the inside till it begins to show on the outside. So that you are indeed free from conformity, routine, and rigmarole, and all that goes with it. Dear Lord Jesus, help us to be transformed. And dear Lord of all things, help us not to play the conformity game, because it stinks. Lord, we pray that every one of us will look into this book as if we were looking into what will be so important to changing our lives. Lord, it's your word, it's your book, given to us for our own good, not to harm us, not to just show us, oh, this is how bad and what a makeover you need. No, Lord, you show us what we are because you want to change us into what you are. Lord, there are those here this afternoon in this room that want that. They want to be changed. And so they're looking at your word. They're listening to your word. They're opening up their hearts to your spirit. They're allowing you to work in them. And Lord, we pray that we might all pop. That thing that's on the inside that you gave to us when we gave our lives to you, and that new nature that's been planted in us, Lord, we pray that it will show forth. That, Lord, not only will we recognize that we have been changed, but more importantly, a world without hope and without God will see the reality of Christ by seeing us. So that we in this generation might let others in our generation know that there is a God of Jacob, who still lives today. Bless every one of us, Lord. Help us, keep us, and change us from glory to glory, even by your Spirit. Amen. Amen. Are you formed?